And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Emperor Julian the Apostate, who, as his name implies, apostatized from the faith and became an atheist, once wanted to make use of the devil to learn something about the future. For this purpose, he searched throughout Greece until he found a group of sorcerers who could call upon the devil in their temple. Julian entered their temple and waited patiently as they went through their pagan rites. When their conjurations were pronounced, the emperor suddenly noticed that he was surrounded by demons, whose very appearance filled him with terror. Because of his fear, he forgot himself for a moment, and reverting to the habits of a Catholic, he signed himself with the sign of the cross. At this, the demons disappeared, and the pagan sorcerers complained to the emperor, telling him not to make such a sign in their presence. They again went through their rites, and the devil reappeared. But Julian, again stricken by fear at their sight, unthinkingly made the sign of the cross, and the demons again had to leave. Thus is the power of the sign of the cross, that even one who is an apostate and striving only to destroy the church can make it on accident, so to speak, and still have more power than the devil. The gospel we have today is a long one and deals with a rather difficult subject, the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. I remember going over this part of the Gospel of St. Matthew in the seminary, and it was interesting how complicated it was. Our Lord obviously did this on purpose by giving the details for the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world at the same time, and by doing this he made it difficult to tell when he was speaking of one or the other, because we are not meant to know when the end of the world will be. Many, though usually Protestants, still attempt to discover the signs of the end of the world from this passage, and usually end up getting all mixed up with the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem instead. We, as true Catholics, though, are more concerned with the lessons our Lord teaches in his words. We are assured by the Holy Scriptures that man's life is a warfare, and only those who fight valiantly will be rewarded. Man is free. Salvation is not forced upon anyone. Christ has given to every Christian sufficient grace to save their souls, but he also gives them the admonition, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Man then must stand the test of freedom here upon earth, wage ceaseless war against the enemies of his salvation, and win a glorious victory against those who strive to turn him from the path towards heaven. Certainly, there are many powerful foes, and yet we can overthrow them all if we use one weapon, and that weapon is the Holy Cross. When Constantine approached the city of Rome, conquered Maxentius, that relentless persecutor of the Church of Christ, and pursued the flying foe until they were swallowed by the waters of the Tiber, a cross appeared in the sky in his presence and before his whole army with the inscription, "In this sign you shall conquer." All who saw it were struck with astonishment and awe, just as mankind will be overwhelmed with terror or delight at the sign of the Son of Man, which shall appear in the heavens on the day of judgment. The cross will appear in the heavens on the last day as a banner of victory for those who have fought the good fight. It will also be to the elect a sign of eternal bliss, a token of that never-ending reward which shall be awarded to them in the presence of the angels and men. and what of the reprobate, what of those doomed to dwell in everlasting fire? To them the sight of the cross will not be a sign of joy, but of sadness, for it will remind them how easily they could have conquered the enemy of their souls had they made use of this powerful weapon to vanquish the demon. The three enemies against which we have constantly to struggle during this life are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The first, the world, does not fight with open warfare, but constantly seeks our ruin with its brilliant allurements, pernicious examples, and dazzling promises. Unfortunately, it too often succeeds in its endeavors. But we have the most powerful weapon in the cross of Christ, which will remind us of our Savior, who will not accept a divided heart. Our Lord says himself that no one can serve God and the world. In another place he says, "As the world hath persecuted him, so also it will persecute his faithful children, and that whoever loves the world will perish by it." But those who view the world in the light that shines from the Holy Cross, though they live in the world, are not of the world. To them, the allurements of the world possess no charm, because, as St. Paul says, they are crucified to the world and the world to them. And thus, though they are beset by snares on every side, they gain a glorious victory over the foe. On the other hand, that Christian who lives in the world without keeping the cross close by often ends up turning down the road that leads to ruin. Our second great foe is the flesh, with all its inordinate desires and unruly passions. But here too we are furnished with a powerful means of defense against their attacks. The very sight of the cross reminds us to deny ourselves. If you listen to this call of the cross, God will assist you with his grace. Our third enemy, and a constant enemy in the pursuit of salvation, is the devil. But here again we need not fear, for Christ has placed a weapon within our reach, the mere sight of which puts the evil spirits to flight, as the story at the beginning of the sermon showed. The devils know very well that the cross, which triumphed over them, has weakened their power to ruin souls. They know that through this blessed sign, God has brought repentance to many a precious soul, redeemed by his blood. In the Old Testament, we read that the Israelites in the wilderness, having given in to idolatry, the Lord punished them by sending fiery serpents to harass them, and many died by being bitten by them. This eventually brought them to repentance, and Moses, by the command of God, raised up the brazen serpent, which was a figure of a snake on a cross. And those who looked upon it were healed. This brazen serpent was a figure or type of our Lord, for it, like our Lord, was fastened to a cross. Those of us who suffer the bite and the sting of the temptations of this life have only to look at the cross of Christ to find some alleviation and to be healed. Make the resolution then for this upcoming new liturgical year, which starts next Sunday, the beginning of Advent, to make use of this help that God has given us in the sign of the cross by not only looking upon the cross, but by making it fervently and piously. For it is truly by this sign that we shall conquer our temptations. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.